Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Anthony Bongiorno.
Hello, everyone. It's so lovely to be back.
It's lovely to have you. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm really excited about today's episode.
So am I. Today's episode are unmade movies that we wish
were made.
Were made.
Do you have, and here's what I'd like to ask, because we both came up with five.
Sure, you bet.
I noticed, at least among two of my five, a common trend of like why they didn't happen. Do you see that? I'll just say it right now. Spoiler alert. Two of mine didn't happen because of Harvey Weinstein for two different reasons.
I don't have that. Okay. I don't have that at all.
For two very different reasons, but both surrounding Harvey Weinstein.
Okay. Okay. So before we begin, let's preface it like this. These aren't just movies we wish were made.
These are movies that were supposed to be
made. Yeah, these were movies that were announced in some way,
or dropped in pre-production,
right?
Or fell into like production hell and never got made,
right?
And I actually have one.
I have one that's a total pipe dream. But okay. People thought it was happening.
Okay, I have one that ended up being made in another iteration later.
Oh, I do. I have that too. Yeah, I have that too.
Yeah.
Production hell, by the way, is when a movie or TV show, whatever, is like being developed. And it doesn't really ever get off the ground. And something could be stuck in production hell for years. Something could be stuck in production hell and still come out. I mean, that does happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's even good, but sometimes it's bad. So some of my list are real things that are like actually being made. One is like a total pipe dream, but was announced like sort of erroneously. And the people involved had to be like, no, this isn't really happening. But they're all things that at one point I was excited about and I wish I could have seen.
I'm going to add one more thing. I don't know about you, but for me, at least for, let me look at my list. For most of these things, I don't want to see them now. Because now we're living in the era of like legacy sequels and like anything can come back.
Right.
I wanted them to be made when they were supposed to be made. Like for me, it's like I wish they already existed.
Ooh, interesting.
Like if they were, some of them like could not be made now.
I think four of these I'd like to see.
Even if they said tomorrow we're going to actually make it. Okay.
One of mine came out in a different medium.
Okay.
Was not a film.
Yeah.
And one of mine is still in production hell and hasn't been officially canceled. So it could happen, even though it's been in the works for over 10 years.
Do you have any order?
No, but I always sort of make my order up on the day, just reading in order.
I'm anticipating that, as usual, our list will be wildly different, but that's part of what's great about our two, when we come in with our sensibilities.
So start with your number five.
Okay, I'm going to go with my, I'll just write out of the way. Two of them are very gay, so I'll just get those right out of the way really early. And this one, this one, I guess, also came out in a different medium.
Yes.
I can't quit the idea of what if there had been a Sex in the City 3.
Sure, yeah.
Which I guess, and just like that, the reboot slash sequel spinoff is a lot of the DNA of the original screenplay for Sex in the City 3 is in there, in the pilot. But it was announced, famously, it is what brought to light, which had been rumored for like 20 years, the feud between Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall.
It brought it to light, really?
Yes, because for years it had been rumored, but they both always denied it. But then when Sex and the City 3 was announced, it was announced by Sarah Jessica Parker prematurely. And then Kim Cattrall said, no, I'm not doing it.
Oh, really?
And then they couldn't convince her. So then Sarah Jessica Parker publicly said, like, it's not happening. Kim doesn't want to do it.
So it could have happened if she wanted to.
It was going to happen. It was green lit. There was a screenplay. It was big died. It was a lot of what ended up being in Just Like That.
It is interesting when one of these, I have this on my list too, when something won't go because one party involved doesn't want to be involved.
And that's what happened here. And then it ended up being in Just Like That without her. But originally it was like in Just Like That, but with Samantha.
Interesting.
A lot of the
as
same
a movie.
As a movie. And it was Carrie, Big dies and Carrie moving on from Big's death.
Interesting.
And she said that she hated the screen. I mean, I've read, you can look it up. I've read... some articles that are like very snarky that are like Kim Cattrall saved us from the worst thing ever, like it would have been horrible, and I'm sure it would have been, but I hate that Sex, even though we haven't Just Like That, I hate that Sex in the City 2, which is really the last iteration of Sex in the City proper with the four of them, is so bad. Like it just ends on such a bad note. I wish there had been something that could have, it couldn't have been worse, that we could have ended on.
It
just, it'll never happen. Oh, so anyway, yeah, it brought it to light because then Sarah Jessica Parker publicly said, like, no, we're not doing it because of Kim. And then Kim Cattrall was interviewed about it, and she was like, you know, after all the years I spent working with those people, I feel like they could have been nicer in the way that they handled that.
Yeah.
And it's just very, she said, I take issue with Michael Patrick King. I take issue with Sarah Jessica. They all could have been nicer about it just because I said no, like, I'm allowed to say no to a project.
Right.
And then that led to Kim Cattrall's brother passed away. Sarah Jessica Parker tweeted at her, and then she tweeted back, like, you're not my friend, and then that's what made it all explode.
Yeah.
Nice. So, but I just, I wish, there's a whole podcast dedicated to the idea of what it could have been.
Yeah.
And, you know, the movies are interesting, but, you know, I wish there was a third one just to round it out and make it a trilogy.
Yeah.
So that's my, I guess, and that's also my, the one that I'm least passionate about, so I wanted to get it out of the way first.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. So my number five is also the one I'm least passionate about. This is what I don't care to see.
Okay.
I mean, at one point I was really into seeing it. Now I don't. Friday the 13th, directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Ooh.
This was announced to be a possible film in 2005. And New Line Cinema apparently did ask Quentin Tarantino if he would do it.
So whose idea was it?
It was New Line Cinema.
Okay.
They went to him. But it kind of got squashed very, and a bunch of people like Quentin Tarantino making a it went around the internet for a while, but then he was asked and he said, yeah, they asked me, but I'm not going to do it. I like those movies, but I don't want to make one.
Okay.
And so it was really never more than a pipe dream, but it was it was the intention of New Line. They did have the idea, like, why don't we give this series to a big director?
So New Line, clarify the timeline for me, because New Line didn't have the rights to Friday the 13th originally. It was Paramount, right? Because New Line is Freddy.
Yeah.
So is it like after New Line acquired the rights, then they said, like, let's refresh it with Quentin Tarantino?
No, because they acquired the rights when they did Jason Goes to Hell. They've had the rights for a while.
Oh, that's right. Jason Goes to Hell was New Line.
Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X. So yeah.
Oh, and then Jason vs. Freddy.
Yeah, so 2005.
Well, that would have been 1 year after Freddy vs. Jason.
2005?
That was 2004, Freddy vs. Jason.
Okay.
Or 2003, maybe.
Okay. And it's before the reboot of...
So did that eventually become the reboot?
Probably, yeah.
Those early aughts reboots just got forgotten.
Yeah, because at some point they're like, we're still going to do this. We still want to do more Jason because Jason.
I've never seen the reboot.
But you just reminded me of one that's not on my list, but it's worth mentioning. Ash versus Freddy versus Jason, which again is something New Line wanted to do, but I think they couldn't get the rights for Evil Dead.
Again, I feel like the DNA of that probably showed up in Ash versus Evil Dead later on.
Yes, right?
Some of it at least.
Yeah. But one more thing about this movie that's weird, which is, and I'm not exactly sure where this comes from. Somewhere on the interwebs, connected with this idea was this idea that it took place in the winter and that you were going to see Jason in the snow and it was going to be aesthetically very different from the other ones. I don't know where this comes from. There was a script much later on, like 10 years later, written by a writer named Nick Antosca, who wrote for The Hannibal Show, which took place in the winter. And then there's like a fan
film. Well, yeah, I guess he doesn't go away just because it's winter.
And there's a fan film that takes place in the winter. But at least in my mind, it was connected to the Quentin Tarantino idea, but they're not connected and it was never really going to happen.
Huh, that's interesting.
And at this point, I would see it just for the novelty of it, but I can't imagine it being good at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. It could have been good.
Well, no, I couldn't remember. What's your number four?
It makes you think of, like, you know how, like, sometimes movies come out, like, you hear an idea and you're like, oh, that's cool. Like, the other day I was just like, whatever happened with that Witches remake? That was going to be cool. And then I was like, oh, it came out and it wasn't good.
It was okay-ish.
Okay-ish. My number four is, spoiler alert, was mentioned in the last podcast that we just recorded. Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian.
Nice. So one of mine was also mentioned in our last episode.
Okay. Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian was, it's very hard to find anything about it other than that it was planned and then it didn't happen. But it was a screenplay by Jonathan Gems.
Okay.
And the plot, as far as I could find, the only plot that exists is the Deeds family moves to Hawaii.
You bet.
To develop a resort. Construction begins, and it's quickly discovered that the hotel, you guessed it, will be sitting on top of an ancient burial ground. Nice. And they have to hire Beetlejuice to come in and save their resort and the day. They're now making a Beetlejuice sequel, but I'm saying, this is what I meant before when I said, like, I wanted it to be made then.
Yeah.
Because I want to see, like, a 1990, like, Beetlejuice sequel.
So this isn't related to the one, because I seem to recall one that was the Wayans brothers were doing.
I think that was a thing, but that was a different thing. This was, like,
part of the same production hell, probably, but this a different version.
Yeah, no, and this was the original, like, pitched sequel after the success of the first one.
Why? Big high concept of Hawaii?
Because I feel like they were just like, this movie's fucking weird. Let's go weirder.
I guess. What if the new movie is in Hawaii?
Imagine. It's just Jenna Ortega. They just go to that script.
Yeah.
I've always been curious about that.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So I want to say, I wish it existed.
All right. So that's your number four.
That's my number four.
My number four, and again, I'm trying to go in order. Well, I might as well get this out of the way. Ghostbusters 3 Hellbent.
Okay. I knew this was coming.
And this, again, this, similar to what you were just saying, this project, which in the most bare bones idea was another Ghostbusters, eventually comes out of production hell as the 2016.
Afterlife.
The 2016 one.
With the ladies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But this script was written in 1999. Wow. By Dan Aykroyd and Tom Davis. It was kept alive in the press really just by Aykroyd, who would not stop talking about it.
I remember it was like Ghostbusters Go to Hell.
Yeah, right. And this is when I said came out in a different way, because the 2009 Ghostbusters video game basically does this idea.
Okay.
Where it kind of like the Upside Down in Stranger Things, a dimension opens and it's like, it's not Manhattan, it's Manhelion. Ooh. And it's like a dark version of Manhattan.
So it's like the Super Mario Brothers dark version of Brooklyn?
Yes.
By the way, that the Super Mario Brothers 2 almost made my list.
Oh. So, yeah. Originally, it was just Aykroyd. Nobody wanted anything to do with it. But then he was able to convince Harold Ramis to come on and help him write it. And Harold Ramis said the original script was bad, so he tried to, like, make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then eventually he browbeat Ivan Reitman into saying, okay, I'll produce it. Bill Murray was a no. Sigourney Weaver was a no.
So they were going to do it without them?
Yeah. And the original script of Hellbent was the original Ghostbusters. But then Bill Murray didn't want to do it. And then I believe was when Bill Murray said, I'll do it if I'm a ghost. And they entertained that for a little while.
Okay.
But then Hellbent became almost another movie idea, but still with the Hellbent idea of young Ghostbusters. Okay. And that's when they actually spoke to Chris Farley. And Chris Farley,
I remember that,
was like, I mean, it was still preliminary, but Chris Farley was going to do it. And
wasn't there also a planned but never happened one, like, with Channing Tatum and
that
happened after 2016?
Yeah. Yes. That's a...
Yeah. Another plan.
Yeah. Happened. Eventually, I'd say that this version, Ghostbusters 3, died around 2007, because in 2007, all new writers were brought in to do a version of a Ghostbusters 3.
And when did Harold Ramis die?
2013, 2014.
Oh, okay, so he was still alive at this point.
Yes. 2014, yeah.
Okay.
So, and then now is in development hell for a while. Mm-hmm. And then eventually that became the 2016 one.
Yeah.
So it, from beginning to end, it, the idea was another Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But I'd say that this idea, this movie, Ghostbusters Go to Hell, really died in 2007. But it through sheer will is what made Dan Aykroyd keep it going.
What is it, the same thing with me in Sex and the City? Like, you just wanted it to have happened so you could have it?
Yeah, I mean, especially in 1999, they would have been young. It could have been a Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
Similar to Kim Cattrall, though, Bill Murray is the reason it didn't happen. I mean, you had a script that wasn't great, right? But if Bill Murray had said, yes, I want to do it, Ivan Reitman would have come on more wholeheartedly.
Right.
Sigourney Weaver may have come back.
They might have done some rewrites on the script.
Right, exactly. Like, Bill Murray was always the holdout. So even when things were looking good, people would be like, but what about Bill Murray? Or Sony would be like, what about Bill Murray? And they'd be like, he's unsure of it. And then Sony would lose interest.
Right. Because
they didn't want to do it without him.
Right.
So it would have happened.
Bill Murray's a real fuck. Because he put up such a fight for so long. Then they finally got him to come back only if he played a different character in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, 3 years later, he's like, all right, fine, I'll do it. And comes back as himself in Afterlife.
Yeah. And they say he might be in the new one, too.
Yeah.
Again.
Fuck him.
Well, I talked about this in length on the Afterlife episode.
Check that out.
It's because of the rift between him and Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Based on the tension on the set of...
Duplicity.
No. Multiplicity. No. What do you call it? Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
So Ghostbusters 3, Ghostbusters Hellbent.
Okay.
If you're interested in it, play the 2009 video game. Or a couple years ago, they remastered the video game. It's basically that idea. It's the original four Ghostbusters. It's good.
Okay. My number 3 is MIB 23.
Okay.
So this was a planned crossover film between Men in Black and 21 Jump Street.
Yes.
And it was, so it's interesting, it was planned and then it was one of those movies that got, like, the Sony hack.
Yeah.
It was exposed, and then I think because of that, it just never happened then. But I think it's just such a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Because 21 Jump Street is so funny. 22 Jump Street, I think, is even better.
Do you think it was a fantastic idea?
I do. I think it could have been really good because it was so crazy that I feel like it was like, why not? Let's just fucking do it.
I mean, I'm not against it, but I don't know. I can't imagine it being... I mean, as crazy...
I think it lends itself to, like, their cops... Right, they're detectives.
But in the world of 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street, there's no aliens and shit.
But it's so stupid.
I mean, yeah, it could be funny.
I think it would have been really funny. It could have been good.
You know,
and it would be cool to just put a button on both of those franchises.
You know, in the world that we live in now where there's these cinematic universes and stuff, the one thing that you really don't see
is
combining two things like that.
Yeah, that could have been, it could have been the beginning of IP mergers, like company mergers.
Right, right.
Like, they didn't exist together before, but let's put them together.
Yeah. Well, I just thought of this one, but that reminds me of Carrie versus Jason. Which
was the original concept for Friday 13th Part 7.
Yeah, the new blood, right? Or the whatever. Blood. The one where it ends up being a girl like Carrie. It's
the girl with telekinesis.
Yeah. Or I think it was originally Freddy, and then they're like, no, let's make it Carrie. And then it ended up being made with just a different telekinetic girl.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, I think it could have been really good.
It could have been funny.
I like
for sure.
Those movies. I think they're really funny.
Yeah, I like them too.
I like Men in Black also, and I just feel like
they ended up making Men in Black International, which was not terrible. I saw it. It was all right.
It was all right, man.
I mean,
I just hate that it was an idea that then, because of like a fucking shitty leak or hack or whatever it was, then it just kind of died.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird fallout from the Sony leak.
Yeah. Was it a leak or a hack? It was a hack, right?
I believe it was a hack, yeah.
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 So.
Interesting.
So that's my number 3.
Number 3. Let's see. What's my number 3? Okay, this one might actually still happen. It's technically still in cooking. Atari. A biopic of Atari and its founder, Nolan Bushnell, produced by Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm surprised that's not happening.
It could still happen. It's still, from what I checked today in my research, it's not officially called off.
Isn't there something coming out now that's about one of those video game guys? There's a Pac-Man movie.
Is there?
Didn't just recently like a Pac-Man movie come out about like the creation of Pac-Man?
No, there was a Tetris movie.
Tetris, yes.
Yes. This is an entirely different story, though.
Okay.
So Leonardo DiCaprio bought the rights to the story of Atari in 2008. And originally he was going to play Nolan Bushnell. And now they're saying he'll produce it, but maybe it'll be Chris Pine as Nolan Bushnell.
Okay.
I always want to see this because it's an interesting story. Nolan Bushnell is this sort of enterprising young nerd who's sort of divisive. He's a nice guy, but he's a little bit of like, it's a little bit like a Social Network. He steals things. Like Pong is basically stolen from someone else. Mm-hmm. And he sort of creates this whole industry. When Atari first opens up, it's huge and they've got a ton of money and they put an above ground pool in the second floor. They're drinking and doing cocaine while they're making video games. There's girls and groupies. It's this wild story of these nerds that invent a new medium and are like rock stars for a while and get sued along the way. Pong sues them. I think that you know, there's a lot of different legal things going on.
Yeah.
In the end, this is true, Nolan Bushnell decides, you know what? The money isn't in making video games. The money is in video game, running video game like places. So he invents Chuck E. Cheese, which is what he is now, the inventor of Chuck E. Cheese.
That is so crazy.
Yeah, the inventor of Atari is also the inventor of Chuck E. Cheese. Where did the name
Atari come from?
I'm not sure. I know that the Atari logo is supposed to look like Mount Fuji.
So I thought Atari was like a Japanese name.
I have no idea. No, it's an could be, but it's an American company.
I wonder if it was just like riffing on that idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is
he invented Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
He's the founder of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, which is also an idea that he stole because there was already Showcase Pizza, which is very, very similar. So Nolan Bush, some people see him as a good guy.
With Meat Cat.
Some people, you know, see him as like this great guy, and some people don't. If you watch or you read Ready Player One, the villain's name is Nolan.
Uh-huh.
Clearly as an indication of him being a bad guy in video game history. Because he would just steal things. But it would have been an interesting story. When The Social Network first came out, which was after this, after it was first announced, I thought, oh, maybe that's why, because it's so similar a tale.
Yeah.
But, and maybe that was why, but it still could happen now.
Well, that's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah. And I'd see it. That's when I'd be interested, genuinely interested in seeing. I think it'd be a very cool story.
Okay.
That was my number three.
Was he a handsome face?
No. So, I mean, he was a person. I kind of, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember now.
Two, like, really good-looking guys.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Nolan Bushnell.
Any relation to Candace?
I believe they're not related. Husband and wife?
Nolan Bushnell Young. I'm just curious.
If he's a handsome sort.
He was not really. Not particularly.
It's interesting, though. What's interesting about this is that one star is driving it. It's Leonardo DiCaprio's idea, and he's the one who wanted to do it and is still like the one who's like spearheading it.
Yeah.
He'd be good in the role, I think, because he's good as a likable douchebag.
Sorry, I just looked it up. The name Atari comes from the Japanese term Atari, used while playing the ancient board game Go. The word Atari means to hit a target in Japanese.
Oh, okay.
And it's associated with good fortune.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting.
Nice. Very nice.
All right.
My number three, yes, Atari.
Okay, so my number, so that's your, I'm up to number two.
Yes, sir.
This one's a little niche.
Okay.
A little niche. Did you ever read Forgive Me, Leonard Peacock by Matthew Quick? It's a YA novel.
What's it about?
It's about a kid who's like planning to do a school shooting.
No, I didn't.
So this is a young adult novel by Matthew Quick, whose most famous or most well-known book is Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
Which then, so after Silver Linings Playbook became a movie that was very successful, won the Oscar, whatever.
Yeah.
This book, Forgive Me, Leonard Peacock, comes out 2013. And so this is There are two reasons why I think. One is the on-paper reason why it didn't happen, and another one is just my theory.
Yeah.
So it's about a kid who's been sexually... You find out later on in the book that this is all because he's been sexually assaulted.
Uh-huh.
And he's... It's kind of like you're following him throughout his day. I think it's his birthday, actually. Uh-huh. And it's like you see that he's packing a gun and taking it to school. Mm-hmm. And he's like... doing all these things, like getting ready to end his life, and then you find out along the way, like what his plan is. I think early on in the book, like you suspect it's a school shooter, but then later on you find out he's really only targeting one kid, and it's like a kid who had sexually assaulted him when he was younger, named Leonard Peacock, whatever. Yikes. And then he has a teacher who he bonds with, who is a history teacher. He finds out later on in the novel that his teacher is gay, and that his teacher can relate to his like outcast status because he's gay. And then the teacher comes to pick him up, and like when he's having a breakdown, he eventually like convinces him not to go through with it. It's a really good book. That being said, my theory of why it didn't happen is because I just don't think that in today's climate, a movie that takes the side.
Yeah.
Of a kid who's going to commit a school shooting would be acceptable.
Sure, yeah.
I think that's ultimately the reason why it will never be made.
Yeah.
But on paper, it was going to be made because a young upstart named Channing Tatum...
Who, guess what, knows how to read.
Read the book, loved it, and bought the rights. And it was going to be his directorial debut, and he was going to play the teacher. And I was all excited for it to happen, but this on paper didn't happen because it was going to be a Miramax joint.
Okay.
And Harvey Weinstein, all that stuff came out.
Okay.
And he was like, I don't want anything to do with Harvey Weinstein. I'm walking away from this project.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it didn't happen. Although ultimately, I don't think it would have happened anyway.
Yeah,
I
don't.
Because of the subject matter.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is a really good book. And I think it could be a good movie. I just don't know if it's wholly appropriate to be made.
Right, right, right. Especially, it's like, they happen so often.
Yeah.
Like, when would you release it?
And now, I don't know if Channing Tatum has ever directed a movie. Because that was going to be his directorial debut.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's interesting that he chose that one.
Did you ever see Elephant, the 2003 movie by Gus Van Sant?
I don't think so.
It's 2003. And it's a loose, fictionalized telling of the Columbine shooting.
Okay.
Through the two kids. And it's done in a very sparse kind of like documentary style, even though it's a fictional film.
It's super realistic.
Super realistic, yeah.
Okay.
2003.
Does it sympathize with them?
It's almost too coldly at an arm's length to sympathize with them, but in some ways it does. It also shows them as gay, which
people do think that
yeah,
was a right. thing.
And also Gus Van Sant
yeah.
is gay and puts a lot of queerness into his stories.
You know, I think that also with there are so many school shootings now, obviously, and it's horrible and tragic. But I think also the narrative around school shootings has changed dramatically since the 90s. And even since, I'd say, like, around the time when, like, this book came out, which is, like, 2013, I think that we've moved away as a culture. And this is probably just due to, like, actual research and actually, like, actual reflection. Like, I think there was this narrative that most school shooters were bullied and were victims that we've moved away from that. Because it turns out that a lot of them aren't.
Well, now I think it's... that they're radicalized on the internet for some,
which
in
is
some
totally,
crazy way. Yeah.
Yeah, Columbine is really the thing that, like, when Columbine happened, I remember was the narrative was like, we need to talk about bullying. Bullying is the reason why these kids
and also
snapped.
they blamed like
and anything to not blame the guns.
Yeah, you're right, and then, right, of course, it's always that.
So, and I think in this case too, like, you know, this kid is like, you find out he's been victimized, he's been traumatized, and you feel bad for him. I don't think we're there right now.
No. But it probably could be a good movie.
Yeah.
At some point.
So anyway, that's my number two. I kind of wish it had happened because I did really like that book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Channing Tatum, it would have also been a departure for Channing Tatum because he would have been playing a queer character.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he's ever played.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So anyway.
So my number two And this this was mentioned a little bit in the last episode. My number two is The Haunted Mansion, directed by Guillermo del Toro.
I forgot about that.
He announced it in 2010 at Comic-Con, saying that he was working on a Haunted Mansion. And everyone loved it because...
At Comic-Con or D-Con?
Comic-Con.
Okay.
San Diego Comic-Con. And he... Well, he's Guillermo del Toro, right? The thing he's known for making these really interesting and dark, sometimes horror movies, sometimes like dramas like Pan's Labyrinth or Shape of Water. And you can still find like concept art for this version online, and it's really cool looking stuff.
Yeah.
He originally was just going to write the script, but then the studio wanted him to direct, and he wasn't against directing. But they were dragging their feet on a lot of stuff, and he is a very busy person. So he went to direct Pacific Rim. So then Disney had to wait for Pacific Rim to be done to get him to direct it. And then, like, again, there was more stuff that it got rewritten, and there was more. And then at that point, it seemed like it was really going to happen when they announced Ryan Gosling was going to be the star of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of nothing about it. And the one that's coming out now, the one that's coming out soon, is sort of the end result of this, you know, production hell. But, you know, in the mm-hmm. annals of movies that would have been crazy that never yeah. made was Guillermo del Toro's Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. I feel like that could have been really good.
I mean, I hope that some of the elements he... work, because this also was after the Eddie Murphy movie, right? Mm-hmm. So they wanted, Disney knew they wanted to go do something different. So I'm hoping that some of the elements that he was thinking about still resonate in the new film.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted to make the Hatbox Ghost a big part of it, and it seems to be from the new trailer that the Hatbox Ghost is a big part of it. So it might be,
okay.
It might be good.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
I don't have an honorable mention, but I have one that I almost put on the list, but I don't want to, only because I haven't given up hope on it.
Okay.
I don't want to consider it dead.
Okay.
And that's the Eleanor and Park movie.
Oh yeah, that's dead. I don't think that's gonna happen. I'm so sorry.
Isn't
she problematic now too?
Well, people don't like
the depiction of Asian Americans
in that book. And she's like, yeah, but that was the person that I based it on. And they were like, too bad. but I don't think that's the reason. I think it's just in the climate we're in, it's like, it's a love story. I don't know. It'll probably come out and be like a Netflix movie.
Show, yeah, which will suck. Like,
it's hard to...
I don't know. Like, also, the Fault in Our Stars movie I didn't love, even though
I think
the
it's
book.
Very hard to adapt YA correctly.
I really also loved the Moxie book, and I didn't like the movie of that either.
Yeah. I think the movie was bad. Yeah. There's been other John Green movies, too, that didn't really hit.
Yeah. Looking for Alaska. Wasn't that a show?
Yeah, I didn't see it, though.
Okay.
They also did a Paper Towns movie.
And, yeah, I didn't see that.
So, like... I think it's hard to do. I don't know. I haven't given up hope on it.
Okay. I have an honorable mention it's not really an honorable mention because it's interesting. It's like I don't want it to be made, but I'm curious. I'm just curious of what it would have been.
Yeah.
And it's the Amy Schumer Barbie.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. So Barbie, the movie that looks fantastic that's coming out this summer.
Yes.
Was originally, before it was Greta Gerwig, it was Amy Schumer's.
Interesting.
And it was Amy Schumer, and Amy Schumer was going to play Barbie.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And I know Amy Schumer's another one that now everyone's decided they hate her.
Right.
Because she's a woman and we just hate women. And we love to tear them down, especially when they're smart and funny. Not that she hasn't done bad things or said bad things, but like I still kind of like Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. But she dropped out and she said it was because of scheduling conflicts, but really it's because she said later on she didn't like the direction that the studio was forcing her to go.
Mm.
My feeling is she probably wanted to make it satirical and funny.
And maybe more
and adult. Feminist and adult. And
I think it's going to be feminist.
I think it will be, but I think it's probably going to be more like...
Safe feminist?
Safe feminist, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Greta Gerwig and it's what it ended up being is Greta Gerwig and Noah
Baumbach.
So I think it's gonna be great.
Right.
But I'm curious. I don't want to erase this one, But I am curious as to what Amy Schumer would have done with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Wow, I didn't even know. I had never even heard of that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I think...
And of course, it got a lot of internet hate with like people being like, Amy Schumer's disgusting. She can't play Barbie.
Right. I don't get it.
I don't want to have
sex with her. I clearly don't get this.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I think is... Even though I know it's going to be good, it's a little bit of a cop-out that Margot Robbie's just so beautiful and she's playing Barbie.
Like, yeah.
It would have been kind of subversive to have, like, Amy Schumer as Barbie.
Imagine they put a black person as Barbie.
Well, in this one, well, but if she were, like, the star. She's not the Barbie. Yeah. There are black Barbies, though. If there's Barbies of all ethnicities in this new one.
If they had made the main Barbie black, people
would riot.
Yeah. People are so stupid.
White people would riot.
There's a lot of sequels that you could put on this list. The original Masters of the Universe, they were thinking of a sequel. It never happened.
I think mine are pretty... No, my number one is not a sequel, but most of mine were sequels.
Yeah, that's true. You said Mario, the original Mario.
Mario 2. A
sequel.
Yeah, because it ended on such a cliffhanger because they thought it was going to be a huge hit.
Right. the other one... That's a big one just that people talk about in pop culture, but I can't really put it on that list because I didn't know about it at the time. I heard about it much later, which is for a long time in the 80s and 90s, James Cameron was supposed to do a Spider-Man movie.
Oh, okay.
And it eventually became the Sam Raimi one.
Yeah.
But this was, you know, James Cameron was hot off of Terminator 2.
Yeah.
And The Abyss, and I guess I'm not sure if it was before or after True Lies.
True Lies is great.
Or I haven't seen it so long.
It's good.
And I think it's before Titanic, too.
I was going to say, he's like, I got a little movie in mind about a little boat that I want to make.
But it would have changed the trajectory of superhero movies, I think.
Yeah.
If he had, in the 90s, made one.
Yeah.
The way he wanted to make it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So my number one?
Sure.
Or is your number one?
I have no way. Where are we up to?
I'm up to number one.
Yeah, it's your number one.
Okay. So you get the final spot, you lucky bastard.
Do you want me to go first?
Okay. So mine is an interesting one because it's storied.
Oh.
Because it is something that was in production hell.
Uh-huh.
And mine's almost a cheat because it's almost two in one because it's two iterations that were planned that I would have wanted to see. And then against all odds, this movie ended up coming out and was a huge success.
Interesting.
So this is Chicago.
Interesting.
So Chicago came out in 2003 and was a wildly successful film.
Sure, sure.
Won Best Picture, whatever. Hugely successful. However, Chicago was in development hell for like 25 years.
Right. Did Fosse originally want to do it?
Fosse was going to do it. It was his next project and he died.
Oh, okay.
So it was supposed to be made into a film in 1976.
Wow.
Right. It's crazy. So I love Cabaret, which he directed. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic film. I love Fosse. I love his choreography. Like, and he had choreographed and directed the original Broadway production of Chicago, which was actually a failure.
Right. Was it really?
It was. It was not a very big hit. Chicago only became a big hit when it was revived in the 90s. And that was because people...
The sheer star power of Bebe Neuwirth.
Bebe Neuwirth, obviously, and Anne Rankin. And people theorize that it was more of a fit in the 90s because it came out right after the OJ trial.
Oh, interesting.
And it was about, like, famous trials.
Yeah.
Just like culturally. But anyway, he was going to direct it in 1976 right after. It's crazy. He made all that jazz, which is about him burning himself out and dying. And
right,
then,
which
and
is
then
crazy.
He died.
Yeah, and then he
and then
went
died.
And really died.
And so then it never got, so it got shelved because he died.
Yeah.
And so I really want to see that 1976 version.
Yeah.
But then it's got even more storied history because then it got revived in the 80s by Goldie Hawn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be Goldie Hawn and Madonna in the two lead roles in 1988.
That's crazy.
And the reason it got fucked up is because of Harvey Weinstein.
Really?
Being a piece of shit. Even before all this stuff
came out.
Because Goldie Hawn has said, and she especially came forward with this now after like Harvey Weinstein is persona non grata.
Yeah.
That he undermined them because he felt that Goldie Hawn was too old. So it was a go. And it was like cast and everything. It was going to be Goldie Hawn and Madonna. And then he basically kept trying to get it taken away from Goldie and giving it to a younger actress. And so then she and Madonna walked away from it. And then it got shelved again, but stayed Weinstein property because then Chicago ended up coming out as a Miramax film in 2003.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I would have liked to have seen the 70s version. I would have liked to have seen the 80s Goldie Hawn and Madonna version.
Yeah.
And I wish that like Chicago 2003 was like the third iteration of it, because I would have loved to have seen those other two.
The 80s one sounds like it wouldn't have been great, but it would have been great for what it is. It would have been a great cult movie. Yeah. The 70s one would probably be like genuinely good.
Right, because it would be like a few years after he wins the Oscar for Cabaret.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah.
It was like his heyday.
Interesting. Yeah, well, Harvey Weinstein's supposed to be like, he's just like a piece of shit.
Yeah, and Goldie Hawn has said, like, basically, he's a horrible misogynist, and me and Madonna walked away because he was trying to fuck us over.
Wow.
And it had to do with age. I think it had to do with money. I think it was a lot.
Right.
But also just like the star power of Goldie Hawn and Madonna.
Yeah.
Together? Together? Would have been great.
Two blondes in the role.
Like I don't know who was who, but I'm assuming that I can only assume that Goldie would have been Velma.
That makes sense.
And Roxy, Madonna would have been Roxy.
Could Madonna have pulled that off?
I don't know. I am sort of like confused about Madonna's acting skills. She's sometimes she's good and other times she's horrible.
She's good in A League of Their Own.
She's great in A League of Their Own.
And then sometimes she's bad.
Sometimes she's bad, yeah. I feel like she's one of those actors that started off bad and then I think she took like serious acting classes and got better.
Uh-huh.
Because she's also, like, people hate on Evita, but I also think she's pretty good in Evita.
I haven't seen Evita.
Yeah. Hmm. And now she's a crazy person on TikTok.
Yeah. Madonna.
So anyway, that's my number one.
That's a good one. That's a very good one. All right. My number one.
Yeah.
Drum roll. My number one is Doctor Who film directed by Steven Spielberg.
Oh, okay. Wait. You don't have Batgirl anywhere on your list.
No.
I thought for sure you were going to have it.
The
one that just was made and then shelved.
I feel like...
You think it was bad?
I think it was probably really bad and they don't want to say it.
Well, they said it doesn't work as a film.
I think even though everything is against this happening, I still think at some point in the future, you'll see it.
You think they're just like getting people into a fever pitch demanding it?
No. I think they really want to bury it, but I think something like... But I think it's hard to bury something like
that.
I
just feel bad for that actress.
I know. I feel bad for her too.
Yeah.
I feel bad for... First of all, Michael Keaton's in it. That was supposed to be his first return as Batman. Yeah. That's crazy. A couple
of other people pretty bigger in it.
The villain is what's his name? Having a big time. The whale.
Oh, Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. He was the villain. And so,
when you said having a big time, I thought you meant Pedro Pascal.
He's having a moment. He's having a great time. So it was first announced in 1993. And Spielberg wanted to do it. This could have happened.
Was it going to be a Spielberg directed or a Spielberg produced?
Spielberg directed.
Okay.
Because apparently he was a fan of the original show. And this was at the time before it was rebooted as a show. So it was like gone. So there was nothing really going on with Doctor Who except for like radio dramas. And the reason why I think this is... There's two reasons why this lives in our hearts. Because one, Doctor Who's never asked for it. It's never been a film, except for they did make two movies in the 60s that are not canon.
Yeah.
And his name is Doctor Who in it for some weird reason.
Oh, wait. His name is not Doctor Who?
His name is just The Doctor.
Huh. Okay.
So, but there's never been a proper Doctor Who movie. So this could have been it. And also, Spielberg in the 90s... You know, he gets whimsy well. He gets adventure well. You know, I think his Doctor Who actually could have been really good. Now, there were a bunch of people attached to maybe be the Doctor. Surprisingly, the first person announced was Jane Seymour, who would have been the first female woman. Doctor.
Yeah.
But then there was like Tom Cruise...
At this time, the original series had ended.
It ended in the late 80s.
So then this would have been the renaissance of it.
Yes.
Potentially.
Yes.
Okay. Which ended up not happening until the 2000s then.
Right. But, well, you'll see, eventually this movie comes out in a way.
Okay, okay.
So Tom Cruise was then rumored, but that made, you know, the British tabloids go crazy because they didn't want an American person playing the doctor. And also a lot of information about it comes from the tabloids. And if you don't know, England has way worse a problem with fake news than we do.
Yeah. And they have.
Yeah.
The tabloids there are just
they just insane. Make shit up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So another person supposedly who was in the running was Alan Rickman or Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore would have been a fantastic Doctor Who.
Some people just mad
if
because
you check up between the moon and New York
yeah,
City.
Just drunk Doctor Who. Some people, even without Tom Cruise, some Brits were mad that it was going to be an American director because they were like, this is our thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Then,
isn't it?
Yeah. So there was a lot of excitement about it, but then for whatever reason, Spielberg didn't want to do it anymore. And then everyone else who was working on it was like, huh, I guess we'll keep working on it. And then it eventually became a TV movie that was released in America. It was released on Fox in the 90s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is a Doctor Who. One of the numbered Doctors, Doctor 8, only was in that one movie.
What's it called?
It's just called, I think it's just called Doctor Who. Doctor Who, the movie. Oh, what's his name?
And it's just a standalone?
It's a standalone. It was meant to be a backdoor pilot that would have started a series that would have been co-produced between America and the BBC.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was not successful enough. It does begin, with the last Doctor from the TV show dying and regenerating into a new person. So Doctor
Who, that had already been established
in the show. So Doctor Who, the movie... 1996, Paul McGann.
And it was American?
Plays the Doctor. Yes. The Master, who's like his biggest arch enemy, is played by Eric Roberts.
Huh. Whoa.
Yeah. So
Emma Roberts' dad?
You bet. So this is technically still canon. Like every once in a while, like when they do things where like the Doctor will like reappear, like you'll see like Paul McGann play him again.
That's weird.
But
so is he the only American Doctor there's ever been?
No, he's not American.
Oh, he's British.
Yeah, he's British.
But it's an American production.
Or co-production.
Okay, okay.
Because BBC got involved with it. And I guess if people had liked it, it would have become a show that aired both on the BBC in England, in the UK, and on Fox in America, but it did not do well.
Yeah.
It also was weird, like they say he's half human in that, which he's not. Like, in no other iteration is he ever half human.
Yeah.
To me, this is, it's a mythical one because it's like an amazing, important title that kind of never happened and a huge filmmaker. And I think it would have been good.
I wonder if the Twilight Zone movie's failure had anything to do with it.
Well, that was earlier, though.
Oh, yeah.
And also,
that was Steven Spielberg produced.
Right, yeah.
And that was not successful, right?
Well, I think the tragedy on the set, which became like a real trial where like people were like sued for like,
His name? The director.
Yeah, well, there was multiple directors.
The director of that segment was sued.
Yes, was it John Landis?
John Landis.
Yes, it was John Landis. Because I remember in Difficult People, they made a joke about Max Landis.
Yeah.
And of like, who's worse, Max Landis or John Landis? One is just terrible on Twitter and the other killed people.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I guess he was... Was that like a criminal trial?
Yes, I remember like... I think Francis Ford Coppola was also involved and he like was in the like on the stand at one point.
The person who died...
It was because it was very... It's kind of like what's happening now with...
With the Alec Baldwin.
The Alec Baldwin movie. It was a helicopter scene that was just not properly done.
Didn't they fly the helicopter inside of a studio or something?
I used to think that. I think I'm wrong. I think it was outside, but I think it was just they were not taking the precautions they should have taken.
And it killed two children, right?
I think it killed one. It killed two people. One, the star of the
Vic
segment.
Vic Morrow, who is Jennifer Jason Leigh's father.
Right. Who was a star.
Who was a star.
And a kid who was just an extra.
I can't believe that movie even came
out. And you, by the way, If you want to, you can find.
I've seen it.
You can find the footage.
It's bad.
You see something move,
and it's a head.
And they're like, that's their head.
Yeah.
The good thing about dying that way is you're dead before you know. Yeah, it. You don't even know you die.
I'll say it again. I can't believe that movie came out.
It is crazy because now they would just not even. They would completely
is this,
just. Tank
is this
it.
Alec Baldwin movie going to come out?
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it's going to happen at all.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for Alec Baldwin in that situation. He literally didn't do anything wrong.
The thing that people are saying is, again, is negligence. It wasn't properly done.
But
it wasn't him, though. Right, but he's the producer.
So he's responsible.
So he should be responsible for the negligence.
That makes sense, yeah.
He's not responsible for having pulled the trigger.
Right.
Because that was just...
It's negligence on his part.
It's negligence as a producer.
Buck stops with him because he's the producer.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, they wouldn't come out now. I mean, there have been things like this. There was a HBO show called Luck with Dustin Hoffman, which was about horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out a bunch of horses like died in the making of it, and they just canceled the show.
Oh, wow.
But it had been on. There was.
I think I remember that actually.
They were making a biopic of the Allman Brothers, which I think it was called Midnight Rider, their song, and a stunt person died in that.
Yeah.
And actually, the Allman Brothers were like, we don't want them to make the movie now.
Yeah.
And they stopped it. Yeah. So I don't think... It is crazy that Twilight came out. Although I that movie, though.
Didn't somebody... I don't know if they died or got like seriously hurt in the when the Spider-Man musical was in...
Not seriously hurt.
Somebody fell. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And got seriously hurt, I think.
I don't think it was serious.
I think it was the original star. And they had to like replace them.
No, there's a long, amazing Jenny Nicholson. Is it Jenny Nicholson? It might be. I think it's Jenny Nicholson essay about the entire production and how it. Because it never made it out of previews.
I saw it.
Did you see it? It was in previews, right?
I don't know if it was in previews, but I'm one of the few people on Earth who actually saw it on Broadway.
It was very different originally. Like, there's multiple versions of it.
Yeah, it was... I gotta say, it was a weird... It wasn't great. Like,
there's a lot of things
that went wrong. It's one of the few Broadway shows... Like, they're not all great, but, like, it's one of the few where I left being like, that was bad.
Yeah, I've heard it was real bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's weird as hell.
Yeah, because Julie Taymor, the director, like, really didn't care about Spider-Man and kind of was like...
Yeah, it's really tied to mythology.
Which
Spider-Man
isn't.
And so there's a lot of, like, Arachna, whatever her name is. Like, she's, like, almost like a Greek chorus.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's bad.
Yeah, I gotta send you that essay.
Yeah, the music was from Bono. It's, like, shitty music, too.
Oh, was it Bono or was it just The Edge? Or was it both of them?
Well, I'm not sure. I thought it was just Bono, but it might have been The Edge.
Yeah. I know people got injured. I don't know if anyone got injured that bad.
Julie Taymor directed The Lion King.
Yes.
And she also directed Across the Universe.
The film, yeah.
Talk about a film forgotten by time.
Yeah.
God, has there ever been a good Beatles movie?
The ones that they're in are good, I think.
Yeah, I guess. Wasn't there... There was supposed to be a live action remake or a CGI remake of Yellow Submarine, right?
I don't remember
that. That never happened? I think when I was looking up movies that were canceled, I saw that.
I looked up some movies, too. One that I remember caring about that never happened was Dino, which was a Dean Martin biopic by Scorsese.
Oh,
which
yeah.
never happened.
Why did that not happen?
I don't know, but it most certainly would have been Robert De Niro as Dean Martin. And that would have been great. I would have loved that. If you look up like things that never happened... I talked about Guillermo del Toro's Haunted Mansion. You could put on this list Guillermo del Toro's Hobbit duology.
Oh, yeah.
Which, when he left, it became a trilogy that then the director of the Lord of the Rings movies directed, but is wildly considered horrible. And basically tanked that series, and now that director is thought of so badly. I mean, like, he had... In terms of, like, actually pre-planning a trilogy to really be a trilogy, like, The Lord of the Rings is amazing.
Return of the King won Best Picture.
Yeah. And they won all sorts of Oscars for technical things. Yeah. And I just recently rewatched the first Hobbit, and then I finally saw the second two Hobbits. Because Alamo had played the Lord of the Rings movies, and me and Jen saw them. And I was like, oh, let me see what it is. And they are not good.
Yeah.
And they get worse as they go on.
How do you take... And,
it's so, how, it's do just, take a children's book and make three movies out of it?
It's like you have a trilogy for a trilogy, and then you have the one children's book that came out first, right?
Right, yeah.
And then you stretch that into a trilogy.
It would have worked as a duology, which is what it was going to be with Del Toro. And even though it was going to be produced by Peter Jackson, the director of Lord of the Rings, it was going to be a Del Toro movie. Like, it would have fit. It would have still had... the same actors that would appear, like the same Gandalf, yeah. But it was going to look like Guillermo del Toro, one of them. Yeah. And it fit because The Hobbit is more of like a fairy tale than the Lord of the Rings books. Yeah. But he just tried to do Lord of the Rings again, and it's just...
What do you think of, this is a little off topic, but speaking of duologies, what do you think of Wicked being released as a duology?
I didn't know it was going to be released as a duology. It's
Wicked Act 1 and Wicked Act 2. And it follows the Broadway show. Like, act the first movie is going to end with Defying Gravity when the curtain falls.
Interesting. You know, I don't remember who, so I can't give credit where credit is due. But I saw a video essay. I love video essays, as I say. I saw a video essay that really changed my mind, where the person was talking about story structure, and they were explaining it. Basically, the premise of the essay was, here's why duologies actually make more sense than trilogies.
Yeah.
And they explained why trilogies don't essentially work and why duologies do work. And I wish I remember who it was, because they really convinced me on it. So
most plays are one act one, act two.
Right.
So it makes sense. It's like first part, second part.
Yeah.
Like beginning.
What do you think? Middle. You
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about the Wicked movie. Again, like, I try to reserve judgment until I see a trailer. But I like everyone associated with it.
Yeah, me too.
I've seen some early clips and stuff have leaked, and it looks pretty cool. I just get nervous that it's just like a money grab.
I mean, it's sort of part one, right?
And part two. But if they're doing it in the service of not trying to cut anything out or even expand, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
The only other duology I can think of that was released like that was Harry Potter and Kill Bill.
Yeah, Kill Bill works.
And Harry Potter, the book was just so long. That last book was so long.
Well, that started a trend too, because then they made the last Hunger Games 2 movies.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
forgot about that.
And but there's a new Hunger Games movie coming out.
Yeah, a prequel.
Yeah, they are securely in their Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yeah.
Fantastic era. Beast era. So was Lord of the Rings too. There was a Lord of the Rings TV show that came out this year that cost $1 zillion and nobody watched it.
You put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you.
And people hated it.
What is it? What was it?
It's based on things from the appendices of
and the Silmarillion.
No, not the Silmarillion. People think it's the Silmarillion because that would make sense, but they couldn't get the rights to the Silmarillion. So it's just stuff from the appendices.
What is the Silmarillion?
It's like a book of, like, it itself is like appendices. It's a lot of history. It's more lore and short stories and stuff in that world.
So weird.
But yeah, people say
telling myself one of these days I'm going to read those books. And
yeah, me too. I am going to read them.
I just won't.
I will, maybe.
I don't know if I will.
One of these days I will. Well, those were movies that weren't made that I sure wish were.
Me too. I sure wish yours were made as well.
Some might happen.
And I know...
Sex and the City 3 is never going to happen.
No, it won't. But I know that Goldie Hawn and Madonna will happen.
Yes.
I know that when I leave here, I'm going to think of one that I didn't think of.
Sure, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I'm going to be really upset.
I'm sure. See, like, even... Kim Cattrall made it so awkward. There's no way to patch it up. That bridge is just thoroughly burned.
Well, they asked Sarah Jessica Parker. They were like, what if Samantha wanted to come back to And Just Like That? And she was like, no, I don't think so.
No, it's never.
You've embarrassed me publicly. No, you're not going to.
Yeah, it's never, ever going to happen.
And now all three of them are executive producers.
Okay.
So the three of them are not letting that bitch back in.
Yeah, that's a shame.
that is the funniest one. That is a coven you don't fuck with.
Yeah. Well, I was joined today by Anthony Bogiano. Anthony, thank you so much for bringing your insight
Thank you for having me.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.